You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Happy Timberwolves weekend. There's games this evening and Saturday. Of course, the Wolves are coming off of a devastating loss on Wednesday against the Orlando Magic. And if you missed my immediate reaction to the Cole Anthony buzzer beater on Wednesday, go back and listen to that. I posted it right after the game. Today, though, we're going to start by talking about some potential trade opportunities, some names that the Wolves could try and target. Of course, the Wolves are not going to start selling because they don't have their very likely don't have their first round pick or their second round pick for that matter next year's draft. So could the Wolves still be looking at upgrading the roster? And I mean, I'm sure that they are, but to what lengths are they going to go to try and shake things up so far in what is increasingly looking like a likely lost season? So I want to look at some possible trades for forwards, power forwards specifically, and preview a little bit Wolves-Hawks on Friday night, and take a quick peek at the Saturday game as well for the Wolves as we look ahead to the weekend. So that'll be today's show. We'll hit the trade stuff first here. Before we do that, though, a quick reminder off the top that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you like to get podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So this was prompted in my mind. We've had the conversation here on the show a couple times over the past few weeks about what do the Wolves do? Do they make a move? I mean, they really are in no man's land. I think it's very likely that they will end up in no man's land this year. Towns is going to come back. We hope that his recovery from COVID-19 is going well, of course, and he's going to be back at some point. He's eligible to be back based on health and safety protocols early next week. That would be 10 days from when he announced that he had tested positive, which was last Friday. But who knows if he'll be back next week or not. And the Wolves, I mean, both games the Wolves lost this week, they would have won with Karl-Anthony Towns. They lost a sloppy game to the Hawks that they were in until the final couple minutes on Monday. They led by 10 with 5 minutes left, 20 in the third quarter on Wednesday, and lost in two with 4 seconds left, and lost at the buzzer to the Magic on Wednesday. With Towns in the lineup, at the very least, this team is 5-8, which looks a lot different than 3-10. Still not great, but looks a lot different than 5-10, and that doesn't include the 7 games he missed earlier this season. So with Towns back, this team's not awful. Now, are they going to make the playoffs sitting here at 3-10 and probably at least 2, 3, 4 more games without Towns? Probably not at this point. And that's the problem. If Towns comes back, if Towns plays in, you know, what is this, a 72 game season? If Towns ends up playing in 55 games, if he stays healthy the rest of the year, knock on wood, and he plays in 55 games, this team is going to be solidly in no man's land. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're probably not going to be bad enough still to finish with a top 3 pick in the draft unless they find some incredible luck in the lottery. So what do the Wolves do? It's not like they have a ton of trade chips. They have some now. They have Anthony Edwards, of course. They have Jarrett Culver, who's played overall a little bit better this year than last year, but he was just the number 6 pick last season. Ricky Rubio will have some trade value. He's got a year plus left on his deal. So I guess they're in a little bit of a better place trade asset-wise, save for the picks. They don't have a first rounder or a second rounder in the 21 draft because those picks were both traded in the Wiggins-D'Angelo Russell deal. So what do the Wolves do? Do they try and find that 4 to upgrade the roster? Do they try and trade out some of the guys that they had previously? I mean, is D'Angelo Russell a possibility to get moved at any point if the Wolves decide he's not the perfect pairing with Towns? Now, they've still only played, believe it or not, what, 5 games together total? 1 last year and I think 4 this year. Is that right? Yeah, 4 games total together. So, or 5 games, I guess, total. So who knows? We really don't know. The Wolves are you know, the results are still a little bit unclear at this point. So what I want to do is Bleacher Report had an article, and this is, let's see, let me get the writer's name here real quick. This is Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, who we've talked about before. He does a lot of these speculation trade pieces. And this isn't even quite that. It's from a little earlier this week. He basically just lists trade targets for each team and doesn't attempt to come up with what the actual trade would look like, the structure of the deal. So I took the 3 names that he mentioned, one of whom we've talked about quite a bit, the other 2 we haven't really, and came up with basically what the Wolves would likely need to trade and for each of these players. And then I want to talk about whether or not it makes sense, whether the structure of these deals makes sense, if the trade would be a clear upgrade for the Timberwolves or not. So the first one, I'll hit the one that we've talked about a lot first, and that's Aaron Gordon. And coincidentally, the Wolves just saw him on Wednesday. Talked about him quite a bit, actually before last season. And then last year at the trade deadline, there was a lot of steam around the Wolves and Magic discussing Aaron Gordon. That was, I think, both before and after the D'Angelo Russell deal. I know the Russell deal was late, but the chatter kind of continued that the Wolves had interest in Gordon. Came up again this offseason. Zach Lowe at ESPN has mentioned it frequently that the Wolves were after Aaron Gordon. Undoubtedly, James Johnson was a part of those conversations, given the similarity in their salaries. The Wolves pick, I'm sure, was in the conversation. Jarrett Culver was almost certainly part of the conversation. The Wolves weren't about to trade the number one pick to get Aaron Gordon, and nor should they have. But seeing what he has brought to the table again so far this year and what he could do for the Wolves and the dearth of talent that the Wolves have at the power forward spot, could there be a trade that could be consummated between the Wolves and Magic that would ultimately bring Aaron Gordon to Minnesota? So just a quick refresher, he's got, including this year, two total years left on his deal. He's being paid $18 million this year and a little more than that next year. So Ricky Rubio is making $17 million right now, and those salaries line up almost perfectly. Obviously, the Magic would need some additional value. Aaron Gordon's a better player at this stage in their respective careers than Ricky Rubio, especially so far this season. So would the Wolves add Jarrett Culver to the deal? Trade Culver and Rubio for Aaron Gordon. Now, on the one hand, there's some flexibility there because Gordon's a free agent after next year. You could always move on from him, just like the Wolves would be doing with Ricky Rubio. On the flip side of things, Aaron Gordon at $18 million doesn't seem like the worst thing in the world at this point. There was a minute or two, I guess, in there where it looked like Gordon was being overpaid, but now it doesn't seem so bad in the current climate and also given, you know, Rubio struggled so far this year with the team. Do the Wolves trade Rubio and Culver for Gordon? It almost works financially. The Magic would need to send somebody else out or waive somebody to make it work. I think there's about a $300,000 gap in there. So it's not perfect, but they can make that work. If the Magic didn't require Culver, maybe they're asking for a pick and Jake Layman or something instead. I don't think the Wolves are going to trade a 2023 first-round pick, or even, you know, they're not going to add that to get Aaron Gordon, but maybe there's a second rounder in 22 or something to go into the Magic in order to get Aaron Gordon. The Magic need wing defenders. I mean, that's one of their weaknesses, so getting Jarrett Culver makes sense for them. Obviously, Markel Fultz is out for the season, so the Magic would consider doing this if they thought they had a chance at the playoffs and decided that they'd rather have a point guard in Rubio, they'd rather have a wing defender in Culver and some flexibility in their front court. Now, do you really want to trade your second or third best player if you're the Magic and you're trying to make the playoffs? I mean, that's the flip side of this coin. It depends on what they feel like their roster balance should look like moving forward. They have a good idea of what Aaron Gordon's trade value has been in these other conversations. So I don't know that the Magic would be too inclined to do this, unless the only reason you do it is if you think that it's a lateral move for now and you think that Jarrett Culver has star potential, or at the very least, top flight starter potential. My guess is the Wolves would offer this trade and the Magic would say, we want Anthony Edwards instead of Jarrett Culver. And the Wolves would rightfully balk at that, unless they were getting back a first rounder from the Magic. You know, unless it's like Rubio, Anthony Edwards for Gordon and a first round pick. That's something the Wolves would consider. I could see that maybe being something the Magic would consider. But now you're back to, unless they really believe that Edwards is a star, are they going to give up their second best player plus a first round pick to get Ricky Rubio and Anthony Edwards? To me, that would be the best structure of a deal like that. And I could see that working out for both teams. It's hard for me to get this trade done without Ricky Rubio involved just because of the salaries. The Wolves aren't going to turn around and trade Malik Beasley. They can't quite yet trade either him or Hernan Gomez. They would both be eligible to be traded in February given the contracts they just signed. The Wolves could cobble something together with Culver, Hernan Gomez, Layman, you know, something like that. But I don't understand why the Magic would want to do that for Aaron Gordon. I think Rubio plus an upside player like Culver or Edwards and maybe a second round pick or something is something that could be of interest to the Magic. From the Wolves' perspective, we've talked about this before. Aaron Gordon's a good fit with what the Timberwolves do. He could play make a little bit. He's a good cutter. He's a solid defender. He's switchable. He can guard threes and fours and some fives. He would fit fairly well next to Towns. He's a good enough three-point shooter to spread the floor enough to work for Minnesota. And because of his improvements he's made defensively, because of his ability to handle the ball too, I actually think he's a really good fit. I've come around on this. 12 months ago, I was not a fan of the idea of Gordon in Minnesota, but the more I've thought about this and the more I've watched him play, I do actually think he would fit well with Minnesota. So still a name to keep an eye on, especially if the Magic continue to kind of hang around the fringes of the playoffs. That's kind of what they were expected to do after the devastating injury to Jonathan Isaac in the bubble. They may be looking for a partial reset to shake things up without completely tearing it down. And so a trade like this is something that might actually make sense for the Orlando Magic. So keep an eye on Aaron Gordon still as we get closer to the trade deadline. All right. Next, I want to talk about two other names that we haven't really talked about in the show as possible trade targets for the Wolves, but I want to talk through those possibilities. A couple of pretty recognizable names in one. It's actually, he's a former Timberwolf as well. Before we do that, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. Are you ready for Championship Sunday? Are you ready for the home stretch of college basketball conference play? Plus, of course, the smack dab middle of the NBA season. There's only one place that has you covered for betting online and only one place that we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. That's NFL, it's college basketball, it's NBA, it's any other sport that you like to bet. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk about the other trade possibilities for the Timberwolves. One, and this is again a name mentioned by Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, but the actual trade idea, the structure of the trade, I'm the one cobbling this together. Former Timberwolf Thaddeus Young has been in Chicago now for a couple of years, and he's not a starter there anymore. He's been rumored at times to be kind of unhappy with his role. He's like a 23-minute game type guy. He's still averaging 10 points, 4 rebounds a game. He's still a good defender. He's a four that can guard threes and a solid all-around player. He still isn't a three-point shooter. We know that, and the Wolves would know that if they were to acquire him. But he's outside of that, he's actually a really good fit for what this Timberwolves team wants to do. He can handle the ball. He can create a little bit. He can cut. He's a good defender. He's switchable, all those things. He likes to play a fast pace. And the Bulls are still a team that make a lot of sense for the Wolves to try and trade with. The Timberwolves could offer the Bulls a package with Jarrett Culver involved because the Bulls are poor defensively. They're one of the league's worst five teams defensively, just like the Wolves. And Culver is a positive, an above average wing defender. He can guard twos and threes and even some fours. He can guard ones. He's still going to put on some strength. He's got good defensive instincts. He's got great length, athleticism, all those things. And the Bulls actually have a pretty good three-point shooting team. And it's not a, and also swapping out Thaddeus Young for Jarrett Culver doesn't really make your three-point shooting any worse. So the Bulls would actually, it would be almost a roster balance move for them with some upside. And we're not talking about a team that's a playoff team. I mean, they're 6-8 right now. They're kind of hovering around that 10 spot in the East. There's a chance that they make the playoffs. But I don't know that this trade would make them significantly worse simply because of the way that it would balance their roster out. Yes, Thaddeus Young is a better player than Jarrett Culver, but what are the Bulls' needs? They need wing defense. Thad Young is more of a four that can guard threes, whereas Culver is more of a two that can guard threes and some ones and fours. And the team control for another couple of years of Jarrett Culver. He's only in his second season. The upside, he's still only 20 or 21, I guess, was the number six pick last year. There's some upside for a team that's still not rebuilding, but in the midst of building, I think, with a new coach in Billy Donovan. I think Culver would fit the fast pace they want to play. And the Wolves would have to throw somebody else in. Thad makes $13.5 million this year. He's got one more year on his deal after this one. So the Wolves would have to add something to Culver, probably Jake Layman. You do Jake Layman and Jarrett Culver. I mean, I guess the Wolves would need to add something else. The Wolves would still need to add about another million. So, I mean, it could be, you know, you could add Naz Reid or something into the trade. You could do, you know, Ed Davis makes more money than Jake Layman. So maybe it's Ed Davis and Jarrett Culver. But the trade would center around Jarrett Culver and Thaddeus Young. I don't even know that any picks would really need to exchange hands. Again, this is a roster balancing trade. And the Wolves are giving up the player with upside. And you know, most of the time, a team that's 3-10 isn't going to be too excited to do that. So that would be the question mark here. Would the Wolves ask the Bulls to include a pick? They've got a couple of extra picks. They've got 2 second rounders this year. They've got 2 second rounders next year. They're not missing any first rounders. You know, the Wolves could ask to get a second round pick in 21 back, maybe another pick in 22. So I think Minnesota would try and get back into next year's draft in this deal. So I think my ultimate trade here would be Jarrett Culver and, you know, Jake Layman plus another player, or Jarrett Culver and Ed Davis for Thaddeus Young and a second round pick in the 21 draft. It makes the Wolves better now. It still gives them a little bit of flexibility because Young comes off the books after next year. And for the Bulls, it gives them some higher upside, doesn't make them significantly worse now, maybe slightly worse, but it also helps with some roster balance, adds another young defender to the perimeter for them. And actually, I think makes a lot of sense. So Thad Young's another name that could be a possibility. Again, I know it seems crazy for a 3-10 team to be trading a guy with upside like Culver for a veteran like Thad Young, who's 32 years old, but we're talking no man's land. No matter what the Wolves do at this point, you may as well try your best to make the playoffs, set the team up for success next year, because you're not going to have that pick, and make sure that you don't end up, you know, as the fourth, third, second worst team in the league and still lose your lottery pick, because that would be the worst possible scenario. Okay, one more player before I get to looking at the Wolves-Hawks matchup for this evening's game. And that player is Pascal Siakam with the Toronto Raptors. This would be obviously much more of a blockbuster type deal, and the Wolves would have to give up a pick and other assets, and possibly even a third team would need to get involved. So I'm not going to pretend to know exactly how this would work, but Siakam just re-signed before last season. He makes $30.5 million this year. His contract is hefty. He's got 3 more years after this one because, again, he just signed it a little over a year ago. And but he's basically a perfect fit for the Wolves at the 4 spot. He's not a great outside shooter, but he can knock down threes. This year, he's only 25%, but over the past 2 years, he was right around that 36% mark. He actually shot 6 threes a game last year at a 36% clip, which is a lot better than anybody was expecting out of him when he basically didn't shoot threes the first couple of years in the league. But he's a great defender. He's very switchable. He's long. He's 6'9" with a big wingspan. Was an all-star last year. He's still only 26 years old, and yeah, he's a little bit expensive, which is obviously the biggest barrier, but Toronto's had a rough year. They're 5-9 right now. Could the Wolves offer them, Kyle Lowry's on his last year with Toronto. Almost certainly he'll be gone after this year. Could the Wolves offer a trade that involves Ricky Rubio, that involves Jarrett Culver with some upside, and then some salary filler like an Ed Davis or something like that, plus at least one future pick, a 2023 pick, we'll call it, because of the stepping rule, they can't trade their 22 pick. So maybe it's their second rounder in 22 and their first rounder in 23, plus Culver, Rubio, Davis, all this for Pascal Siakam. That works from a salary perspective. Rubio, Davis, and Culver add up to enough in salary to make that work. I don't know what Toronto's motivation would be with this outside of, you know, I guess cashing in if there's any buyer's remorse with the way that they've played this year and Siakam over the past, you know. He didn't finish last year super strong, and maybe the start of this year. I mean, he's only dipped a little bit in production. So, you know, this certainly isn't a deal that Toronto, I don't think, would be itching to make yet. But could it be a trade in a few weeks if they're still a borderline playoff team? If there's any buyer's remorse, if they're thinking, okay, what do we do next? Rubio could come in and play point guard for them. He could be their starter next year, maybe bridge the gap, or not their, I guess not their starter with Van Vliet there, but he could be play with Van Vliet at times, be a part of the rotation next year. Jarrett Culver, again, for the same reasons the Bulls might be interested, he's got that defensive ability and some offensive upside. Ed Davis would kind of help with that, shore up their front court, give them some toughness that, they've been lacking a little bit in recent years. I mean, obviously Ibaka no longer being there, Valanciunas having not been there. They could use a little bit of Aaron Baines has been a good addition for them, but beyond him, Siakam's your other big there, basically. So having, adding a guy like Ed Davis could be helpful for the Raptors towards the end of their rotation. again, this is the least likely of the three. I think it's going to be tough to pry Siakam away from the Raptors, but this would be the big splash move, right? This would be the Timberwolves going all in on this Towns-Russell pairing by adding a third star in Siakam, who frankly is a better player than D'Angelo Russell, but would probably be third on the Wolves in scoring. And a big three of Towns, Russell, and Siakam, I mean, you're obviously a playoff team in the West if you manage to make that trade. The Wolves for this year, Jordan McLaughlin's your backup point guard. You've got plenty of wing depth, you know, with sending Culver out. So you're cashing in more draft picks to get Pascal Siakam. I don't think there's much appetite for the Raptors to do this, even though they're 5-9 with their best players all mostly healthy. I mean, Lowry, Van Vliet, Siakam, and Anobi have all played in at least 13 of their 14 games. So that's the weird thing about the Raptors is it's not like they've been, you know, bruised and battered and missing a ton of guys. But what, you know, if this thing in a few weeks still isn't looking great, is there any sort of buyer's remorse that they have on the Siakam contract? And could the Wolves convince them to make a move? Again, I think it's unlikely, but Siakam would be one of those splash moves that the Wolves could try and make. And the Raptors would be a target for that. All right, next, I want to wrap up the show by looking ahead at Wolves-Hawks this evening, as well as the weekend and what the Wolves have on tap. Go behind the scenes of the game that you love and get all sides of the story with the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozlov and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about this weekend of games. The Wolves have the Hawks this evening on Friday night. They had the Hawks on Monday for the matinee, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Did not go well. It was a sloppy game both ways. If you're curious in hearing my thoughts of that game, go back and listen to Tuesday's episode. But basically, the Hawks turned the ball over like 24 times or something. The Wolves had a bunch of turnovers too, but the Wolves could not take advantage of Atlanta's sloppiness. And well, Minnesota kind of hung in the game, made it a two-possession game midway through the fourth quarter. The Hawks shut the door. Minnesota's plan to slow down Trae Young worked fairly well. Basically, Josh Okogie followed him everywhere. Culver guarded him for a little while. And Trae only attempted 8 or 9 shots for the game, but he had a bunch of assists and got to the free throw line like 13 times. I think he was 12 of 13 at the line. Since then, DeAndre Hunter has been on the injury report. He was really good against the Wolves the other day and has been good this season. So he's questionable for the game. Cam Reddish remains questionable. Bogdan Bogdanovic and Chris Dunn are both still out. Danilo Gallinari is listed as doubtful. So it's obviously, I guess, doubtful that he'll play in the game on Friday night. But he has not seen the court in since the second game of the season. So it's unlikely he'll be there. But the Wolves will still have to deal with Trae Young. They'll still have to deal with John Collins. Clint Capella was a problem for the Wolves the other day as well. Naz Reid really struggled with him. And then anything that DeAndre Hunter is potentially able to give them is massive too. The Hawks are actually a decent matchup for the Timberwolves. The biggest problem is containing, weirdly enough, with the Hawks, is containing Capella and their big men with no Karl-Anthony Towns. Because Naz Reid struggled so much on the interior lately, this remember, he had 2 rebounds in 28 minutes on Monday against the Hawks, and Capella had an easy double-double in that game. So if I'm Ryan Saunders, I would do a lot of things differently, but I would definitely make sure that Ed Davis is getting serious run in this game. I understand that the Wolves' offense has been struggling, but it's not like Naz Reid has exactly been lighting it up offensively either. And Ed Davis is still effective in the pick and roll, plays well with D'Angelo Russell. So I would consider Ed Davis in the starting unit with this game, putting Naz, coming off the bench. I don't know that they could get away with Jared Vanderbilt at the 5 against Capella and the Hawks. But at any rate, I would look at Ed Davis checking Capella more often. Early in the game on Wednesday, Nikola Vucevic dominated Naz Reid. And then Ed Davis came in, contained him very well the latter part of the first quarter, early part of the second quarter, and then Naz played better the rest of the game. But I would put Davis in the starting lineup and bring Naz off the bench in a game like this to try and combat some of those rebounding issues. John Collins is going to be a problem regardless. The Wolves are going to have Vanderbilt try and chase him. I think putting Okogie and Trae Young makes sense. Making this team shoot three-pointers is important. They're 15th in three-point attempts in the league, 24th in three-point percentage, and Trae Young is still struggling from the field. He's under 30% still on three, under 40% from the field. He's played a little better lately, but the Wolves, basically their game plan for Monday worked fairly well defensively. The problem was offensive execution and then consistency down the stretch. They couldn't stop the Hawks when they needed to. The Hawks pick and roll was too deadly in the closing minutes. So that's what the Wolves need to do in this game. And then the other game that they have this weekend, they have a back-to-back at home. Saturday is against the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans are 5-9, have been a little bit underwhelming so far this season. Of course, they have Stan Van Gundy coaching now. Zion Williamson, of course, finally healthy. He's played in 13 of their 14 games, and he's averaged almost 24 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2 assists per game, and has been good. I mean, he's been what everybody's expected. Dominant is maybe a little bit of a strong word for his performance so far this year, but he's been very, very good, and he's been okay defensively, which is important. But I think they're wanting a little bit more out of him on the glass. They're wanting him to do a little bit more defensively. But he's been what makes their team go round. Steven Adams has been a nice addition, has helped take some defensive pressure and rebounding pressure off of him. Brandon Ingram has been really good again this year. Those are the guys that you have to stop when you play the Pelicans. And New Orleans is one of the teams that everybody expected the Wolves to be battling with for that final spot in the West. And 5-9, I mean, that's only what? A game and a half better than the Timberwolves. And they've lost 2 in a row. They've lost 7 of their last 8 games. And there's some bad losses in there. They lost to the Thunder. They lost to the Hornets. Both the Thunder and Hornets have been pleasant surprises so far this year. But still, they lost to the Thunder and Hornets. They did beat the Kings. But then they just lost consecutive games in Utah to the Jazz. So they're returning home after a 6-game, or I should say this is the final game of their 6-game road trip. So maybe the Wolves, just maybe, will run into a team on Saturday that is just ready to be home. And perhaps the Wolves can squeak out a win against the Pelicans. It's a tough matchup without Towns, but it's another game that with Towns, the Wolves should win fairly easily. Maybe not fairly easily, but the Wolves probably would be favored at home against the Pelicans, at home against the Hawks, on Wednesday at home against the Magic. With Karl-Anthony Towns in the lineup, the Wolves are favored in all those games. Instead, for instance, tonight's game against the Hawks, the Wolves are 6-point underdogs, according to betonline.ag, which frankly, if I'm considering betting this game, I don't think Wolves plus 6 would be the worst bet in this game, especially after the heartbreak on Wednesday, the way the Wolves played the Hawks relatively tight on Monday. If you're looking for a way to bet on the Wolves, I would much rather bet on this game tonight than on the Pelicans game on Saturday. And that's my extremely amateur opinion when it comes to gambling Wolves this weekend. Although I think my amateur opinion would be to just never gamble on the Timberwolves. That would be probably the best advice I can give. At any rate, we'll be back on Monday, or actually I should note, we've started this new Locked On initiative where we'll have 60-second videos, quick hitting reaction to the games posted each night. So look for that on the Locked On NBA Twitter account. So I'll have a reaction immediately after the game. And then this weekend I'll have a post Friday, Saturday podcast go up over the weekend, kind of recapping both the Friday and Saturday games, recapping the weekend as a whole before we get to Monday. And then on Monday, of course, I'll preview the upcoming week. But we will have a show that we'll publish following the Friday-Saturday games, probably late Saturday, early Sunday is when you can look for that show. So be sure to stay tuned throughout the weekend. All right, that's all we have for today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get podcasts. That includes iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Please subscribe and please review, especially on iTunes. That definitely helps us out in terms of reaching more folks. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. Have a great weekend.